Today's Daily DVR is, of course, brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Cufflinks.com, back with us again. It's March. From March 1st to March 10th, use promo code DESIGNER20 to get Hook and Albert, Constantino, Mont Grappa, Jean Leslie, Smathers and Branson, Beltology, and many more at 20% off. That's right, use code DESIGNER20. This is some fantastic stuff. I talked a little bit about this Beltology. I really like those belts. That's nice. And this is some cool stuff. We've got some bags, some money holders, earrings, cufflinks, all that kind of stuff. Head over to cufflinks.com/DVR so they know we sent you. And check out this designer sale from March 1st to March 10th. Now let's get on with the show. Today is Friday, March 1st, 2019, and this is Daily DVR, does the Oscars with He Solo Filmless style.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, baby. Ah, that was fun. Welcome back, everybody. We are here on Daily DVR to talk about the Oscars. Yes, we know the Oscars were last Sunday, but we're actually recording this on Tuesday night anyway, but we're releasing it on Friday. And this is going to be a fun podcast. Go to dvrpodcast.com or check us out on Twitter. And we also are going to talk about who won our Oscar contest. And we're going to talk about those results as we talk about the Oscars too. And here with me is Heath Snolo. What's up, buddy?
What's up, brother? Oscars with no host is done.
So what did you think about the no host? Let's talk about it right away. What'd you think?
You know, I'll be honest, it depends. I'm a big Billy Crystal fan, and I love Jimmy Kimmel. But yeah. I was okay this year without a host. I liked the Queen, you know, little medley with Adam Lambert at the beginning. I thought that was a good way to kick it off. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I used to love award shows, used to just especially the Oscars. I mean, I still love the Oscars, but I'm not as I'm not as into them as I was, but I think this year I kind of was more into it than I have been in years past. But being an actor, of course, you know, Oscar moments, speeches, I mean, I love it. I love seeing it. It's just sometimes it's just too long. But this one was about 3 hours and 15 minutes, no host. It worked for me. I think, you know, remember that one year, I won't say, but, you know, some years you're just like, oh, boy. It was bad. But you know what? It's, you know, it is what it is. Do we watch for the host or are we watching for our favorite actors, favorite films? I guess as a whole, I enjoyed this year. You know, it was a good one. It was a good one. I unfortunately didn't see a lot of the films.
Right.
I just been so behind. Not like last year where I basically saw almost everything.
We did. We saw them all.
Yeah, like Three Billboards, Shape of Water. We saw, yeah, so this year I only saw a handful, but you know it was a very this Oscars where it was a couple years ago where the Oscars were too white.
Yeah,
this year it was great to see diversity. I mean, when you think about it, I mean everyone that won was not, you know, just American. I mean, everyone was American pretty much. Olivia Colman's British, but it was, you know, every ethnicity, someone from Egypt, you know, Rami Malek's from Egypt, originally from Egypt.
Yeah.
But I love when he was just like, I'm an American. And it just like, I think this was the year that the acceptance speeches hit me the most emotionally. Mm. Rami Malek's, Lady Gaga's, to name a couple. I just really, when they speak from the heart, I just really, it really hits me. What did you think, buddy?
I really liked it. I thought they were tricking us for a second, and I almost jumped out of my seat when Maya Rudolph, Amy Poehler, and was that Tina Fey that was with her too?
Yeah, she was in the middle.
When they all came out together, and I was like, oh my God, my prayers have been answered. They're hosting. They're going to shorten the speeches, and we're just going to see these three amazing, talented women be super funny. And that didn't last, but it kind of set the tone for people to kind of appear, be funny, and leave. Melissa McCarthy, who I usually think is a bit over the top, I thought was very funny. I thought the guy from Atlanta who was with her, David Tyree, I think, who I'd just seen in Widows, was really funny. I think it really worked, and they didn't do any extra stupid like skits, and I liked that, and I thought it really worked. I really enjoyed it. It was just it was long. I do think that not having a host made it feel a little longer in some ways, because the host usually says, we've got this many awards to go. You know what I mean? Like kind of clues you into how you should feel. And we didn't really have that, but that was okay. So I think the no host worked for me. Excuse me.
Do you think by them, throughout the night, when they, whoever's nominated for Best Picture, they have someone go up there and they show a clip. Do you like that or not like that?
I jump as soon as I know why that the person's there, I jump forward. I don't like it. I don't like any time when they show clips from the movies. They always spoil the movies, like sometimes always. Ridiculously so for no reason, like they're going out of their way to spoil the movie. But I do like montages of classic films, though.
Yes.
I like that. But I don't like for me, don't even show the movie. You don't need to show it. But they have to because it's good to show the movie. So I guess I'm just going to keep on fast forwarding.
Interesting.
You know, and especially this year when I hadn't seen a lot of them, I didn't want to get spoiled.
Yeah.
So
I've been spoiled so much through the years. And then a lady, I was watching it in my bar, and unfortunately a lady who had a few too many vinos spoiled the end of A Star Is Born for me.
Oh, yeah. See, I knew that already, so I kind of know what happens in that one. But they do.
I still want to see it, but.
See, yeah, that's the tough thing for me, Solo. That's why this was a tough Oscars for me, because I don't know if I'll ever watch A Star Is Born. I'm not proud to say that.
It's not really your type of movie, though.
Well, I just
you'll watch anything. I mean, you'll give anything a chance.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem like an Axel Foley movie to me. I just
I can't. I just
because Timothy Chalamet's not in it.
I love him, man. Oh my God, I love that movie so much. But I still think Phantom Thread was a generational once in a generation. That film is going to be taught in film schools in 100 years. And I think I made a joke that this year was kind of had a hex on it because the Phantom Thread didn't win everything last year, which it should have. Cause it was just, to me, it was a masterpiece, but, what were we talking about?
Star Is Born. Whether or not you're going to see A Star Is Born.
It's just first. I'm sorry. Like I said this on the pod when I talked about this with Justin, and I think we've talked about it. Like, I just can't do Lady Gaga. I'm sorry. She hits too many. She's overly earnest. She's just so into everything she does. Like, Gina asked us, what was the question since we're talking about Gaga?
Okay, hey, I'll read it for you.
Okay.
Okay, so you may have already talked about the Cooper Gaga performance last night, but I would love to hear the male's perspective on it on the pod. Apparently, while women across the land are swooning, a friend's boyfriend said the following. Apparently, an entire gender can't read lukewarm look on a man's face.
Yeah.
Seems ripe for discussion.
Gina, I have to agree with your friend. Now, I wouldn't put it that way because
– What? I don't understand the lukewarm – what?
Okay. I think I must what have he's missed something here. What she's trying to say – what he's trying to say and what Gina's trying to say is that women – I guess kind of putting themselves in the Lady Gaga role and looking at Bradley Cooper are like, oh my God, they're in love, you know? But a lot of mm-hmm. men saw Bradley Cooper just kind of putting up with Lady Gaga, and I guess that's
kind of... Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't know if I agree. I kind of agree with what the guy's saying, but not completely. Like, I definitely think that they're different, and I think Bradley... First of all, I think Bradley Cooper was more nervous than she was, because that's her element, you know? And mm-hmm. I think that singing, even as an actor, you can say this, Heath, like... you know me, dude. I'll cold call anyone on the phone. I'll walk up to anyone and start talking to them. I'll get on a stage like you. I feel more comfortable sometimes if I was talking to an audience of 100,000 people than like 5 people that I don't want to talk to. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I'm the same way. I'm more comfortable in front of a big audience,
yeah.
And I hate cold calling or emailing.
See, like, I can kind of
it's weird. I can't cold call. I can't email like something bad. Like I can't read it. But in person, I can do everything right there. But I can't hide behind. It's weird.
Yeah. See, for me, it's like mid numbers. Like I can do 1 or 2 people really well and drill down and be personal. But then once it gets a little bit more. It's kind of overwhelms me, but then when it's so many people, I just don't care. Like I've done live TV. I get nervous, of course. Everyone, you get excited, but I perform. That makes me kind of turn it on, right? And I feel like Bradley went singing is something different. And I feel like he was a little nervous. You know, there's a different kind of vulnerability there.
Mm-hmm,
and,
sure.
But I also can see where the guy's coming from, where I did kind of feel like Lady Gaga was looking at him like, hey, baby, you know, she was so into it. And he was kind of a little bit more concentrating on his singing and like the machinations of moving around her to sit on the bench. He didn't seem to be as in love as when I looked on Twitter and things afterwards. I just saw a lot of people like, oh, they look like they're so in love. It's like, I don't know. It looked like she was in love, but I don't know if I got that from him.
Okay. I didn't see a lot of the singing part, but I saw the on the piano thing.
Yeah.
And see, I got the impression he was in love when he sat next to her on the piano and closed his eyes and went next to her. Like I did feel that. I'm a Lady Gaga fan, actually, so I like her a lot. So I'm the opposite of you.
This is like Justin was like a Lady Gaga fan, or who else was I talking
about? I don't know, but I totally am. Like, she's really good. Like, if you see her performance with Tony Bennett, it just really changed things. Anyway, I mean, I'm a fan.
I'm not – I should say this, Solo. I do want to say I'm not a fan. Like, I like Lady Gaga. I like what she stands for. I like her little monsters thing. I like her story. I like that she's so into it and so performative and so theater. But I appreciate it, but I don't enjoy her singing. And I've probably heard like that, oh, la, ga, ga, ga. That's probably like the only song that I've ever heard all the way through. And that was probably like her first song, right?
I'm in a romance.
Yeah, because it's just a little bit much for me.
Okay, yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, it's not my type of music, but it's weird. Her, Madonna, I'm like big fans of. It just, for whatever reason, I just, I don't know. I like her. But anyway, now that we got your declaration out of the way.
I'm going to become a big Lady Gaga fan now. I'm going to challenge
myself. Dude, all of a sudden you're going to have a shirt on.
You
know, you're going to be doing video pods.
I'm totally listening to more of her music now just because I've talked about it way too much. Like, I don't know why this keeps on coming up. I don't care.
Know. No, it's – I used to have a thing with Calista Flockhart. I couldn't stand her.
Really?
And then she's one of the nicest people in person. She's a fantastic actress. I don't know why I guess it was the Ally McBeal. I think I was too
was
early for Ally McBeal.
It, yeah.
Something about that irked me.
Yeah.
But like now that's a show I would love to go back and watch now because I probably would like it. But no, but she's fantastic. I don't know what it is. Sometimes people just rub you the wrong way. I'm sure I rub people the wrong way. I mean, only when I'm a masseuse, I rub people. Anyway, Robert Kraft.
Well, hey, don't get Robert Kraft in here. But listen,
yeah.
I think, hey, we're just talking True Detective about Stephen Dorff. A lot of people disliked him as an actor and thought he was kind of like the cool guy, the arrogant guy. He couldn't really act, you know? Got away with good looks and being slick. And then look, he does a different role and something happens. So the Lady Gaga thing, maybe I need to kind of see her through a prism that isn't that kind of overwhelming, like yelling at me while she's singing. I feel like she's like kind of like maybe if I was younger, I would appreciate her more because I'm so like chilled. I mean, like I used to like mosh and be into like Nirvana and stuff. Now I'm like tapping my toe like to like Dave Brubeck.
What, My Three Sons? The theme?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I love that, dude. That's a great song. I started thinking of it and I got into it. I started moving. But so maybe that has something to do with it. But I think that's funny that Gina says that. Because people, that was, I have to say, a fantastic performance.
Yeah, you know who I felt bad for? Was Bradley Cooper's, I think, girlfriend that was in this scene. Yeah. Like, I mean, you're together with him, and then you see this them on stage, and I'm like, I mean, you got to have some real security about you to be like, okay, did they sleep together? I mean, because it's funny, when you work on a film, especially where two leads work on months and months on an intense character study, and they work closely together, it's almost human nature, you know? Like, how do they not become close? I mean, not everyone sleeps together. I'm not saying that. But there's
but a
certain,
lot of them
you're
do.
Playing a character. A lot of them do. A lot of them do. So, So, who knows? I mean, it's just emotions. We're human. And emotions, when you're that deep into a story like that,
yes.
I mean, that's intense. Yeah, I mean, dude. That's – how could you – yeah.
When your job – is to act like you are in love, there is the possibility that it could overwhelm you. And that's why, you know, as an actor, acting, you know, you think of it sometimes, you get lost. You could get lost in some of these roles. Mm-hmm. And what they did for this film, there was such a dedication on both of their parts, and you can see it, you know? And you could see it in this performance. But the whole way it was staged, that they walked up at – he kind of stood up and they took each other's arm and they walked up and then they just started singing. And it was just really the way the camera stayed so close to them. This really was a pretty good production the whole night through. I can't really pinpoint something that really got on my nerves or was you know, I didn't need to see any more selfie shots. I didn't need to like gimmicks like that, you know, which I think.
Or
are
what was the
weird.
One with when they brought in like the fans watching a screening of something across the way?
I just give them a little pizza or something. Like, yeah, I don't need that. I understand the point of that. You bring in the theater, but I think there's just maybe different ways to do it that don't seem to kind of create such like. Let's let the common people in now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know, right?
It's just weird. But in general, that performance, and though I'm not a huge fan, and I have to admit towards the end of the song, I was kind of like, all right, this can end now. But I did feel it was really good at all the musical performances. My favorite of the night was Bette Midler, who I am a huge fan of. And
that
I know people might say it's similar. It's different to me, though. Bette Midler has a nuance to her that – and maybe you're right. Maybe I need to hear a Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett jazz kind of album, you know?
I think you might dig it.
Maybe I would, you know? But I loved Bette Midler.
Ooh, la, 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 la. What if instead of singing Shallow, whatever it's called, from Star Is Born, they came out and did that and Bradley Cooper just started breakdancing? You know, and got everyone going, oh, la, ga, ga, ga. All I hear
Jeremy
is
Renner,
Lady Gaga.
I see Jeremy
Lady Gaga.
Adam Lambert was good. You're right. That performance was good. He's something else, man. I mean, I remember him on American Idol back in the day when my wife and I used to watch American Idol.
Oh, is that what he's from?
Yeah, dude. The first time he sang on American Idol, I can, I bet you everyone who is watching, I turned to my wife and was like, okay, you're going to be hearing about this guy for the next 25 years. He is amazing. And if there's one person who can sing like, I mean, he might have a wider range than Freddie Mercury, because Adam Lambert is able to go so high but still have like a deepness to his voice. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know as much about octaves and all that, but I think he's a really great singer. I don't think he's not Freddie Mercury. Obviously, there's a great chasm in creative, I think, energy there. I was just thinking about pure voice, but
there's a reason why they chose him.
There's a reason why they chose him to represent Freddie. Yes, that was not a not smart to do.
It's tough because like Chris Cornell, they did a tribute concert to him, and it was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, how can
except
you,
for Miley Cyrus,
dude? Who has ever
Miley Cyrus
like
can
this?
Hang?
Yeah, Miley Cyrus is great. She has a great
dude.
Voice.
She can. She's covered a lot of ranges from Paul Simon to Chris Cornell to Dolly Parton. I mean, she can hang. She's a talent, whether you like her or not, or, you know, whether Donald likes Hannah Montana or not.
Yeah.
She can hang, and she, because she did a rendition of Say Hello to Heaven by Temple of the Dog. That was really good.
Wow.
You can find it on YouTube.
Oh,
yes.
I love
she
that
was the
song.
Only thing what is only thing worth watching in that whole concert. It was just it was just so bad.
Dude, I just think, like, how could you, if you're going to pick a person that like of that generation, like, I think, like, you know, people could kind of, Chris Cornell just has such, it's like amazing what he could do. People across the world, as you probably have done many times while drinking, have like ruined your throat trying to sound like Chris Cornell and still like be so guttural but so smooth at the same time. You know what I mean? Ugh. Like, he's just, his voice was like perfect, man. All right, getting back to the Oscars, though.
Let's run through these suckers. I want to know who won and all this stuff.
Well, let's just talk a little bit more about, was there any other parts of it that you wanted to mention? Like I said, like, for some reason, I really enjoyed the Bette Midler part. I enjoyed, like what I said before, like Maya Rudolph and them, kind of, they were so funny. There were some people that weren't that funny. There was two people that
came up who I didn't recognize, who were like, oh my God, I'm at the Oscars. Oh my God, you believe, like, I don't know who they were.
That was Awkwafina and John Mulaney.
Who were they?
Awkwafina, who is a comedian. It's a joke name. It's like a joke rap name, you know. She's a comedian. And John Mulaney, who was a writer for Saturday Night Live, and he's a stand-up comic. I thought they were pretty funny, actually. I like them.
Oh, I didn't think they were at all. I thought she was terrible.
I thought that they were pretty cool. But that's what I wanted to say is this. Who was not at the Oscars? Let's make a list, okay? Brad Pitt.
Okay.
George Clooney.
Tom Cruise.
Julia Roberts was there. Charlize Theron was there.
But they all look different, though.
Yeah. But the thing I want, I'm trying to point to is...
No old...
Yes.
I mean, what old icons were there? Like, no Warren Beatty, of course, no Jack. Meryl Streep wasn't there, right?
Nope, I don't think so.
Oh, geez, Meryl, you don't get nominated? You don't show up now? No, just kidding.
Not even mentioned.
Fantastic. Yeah, you that's know? Weird.
De Niro.
Yeah. De Niro, Pacino. You know?
Not even mentioned.
Spielberg.
So, and who was there? A lot of TV people. A lot of TV people won awards. Regina King, Rami Malek, Mahershala Ali. All these people who won awards. I think that this was the most TV Oscars I can ever remember. And I don't see a lot of people writing about that. It's just kind of assumed now because streaming and theater, you know what I mean? Like, everything's mixed up.
Yeah.
But it's worth noting.
It used to be a big deal. Like, I remember when, you know, David Caruso, George Clooney leaving TV to do film.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Or how about this?
It shows you how it's changed.
How about this? I shouted this out on Twitter because she was nominated for an Academy Award. A person who is not given a lot of credit, who actually was probably the first super A-list actor or actress to break that barrier, is Glenn Close with The Shield and then Damages.
Well, she went the opposite way, yeah.
That's what I mean, though. She broke that barrier. And I think that...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't a... Yes.
She made it okay.
Great call.
She, in a lot of ways, she made it okay. And then people started going back that way. And now today, if you see somebody gets their own Netflix show or something, that's the big time.
Yeah. No, that is amazing how stuff has changed. I mean, a lot has changed with the way we view movies and TV. Cable has really – that really started it. I mean, come on. Like, I mean, it took a while. You know, HBO was doing shows and stuff, but then it just now every – even the gas station network has a show nowadays.
But it's called the Mobile Moving Network, okay? So,
The Shell – yeah.
All right, let's get into the DVR podcast Oscar ballot. We had a good amount of people entering, and we had a good amount of people who got a good amount right. I want to kind of go through it. And
how many categories in total were there that we had?
We did 14 categories. I did basically kind of what I felt are the 14 major categories. I eliminated a lot, I have to admit. But I thought it made it kind of fun because it was categories that I liked.
That's the way it should be.
I want to say I would like to go through and see who we picked and who was the winner. Okay.
Okay, that sounds great.
So this is fun. Best Picture. The winner, obviously, was Green Book. Only 13% of our respondents picked Green Book as the winner. We picked overwhelmingly 47.8% Roma.
Right.
Okay? And Green Book was actually tied with A Star Is Born at 13%. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Best Director, right? The winner we know to be Alfonso Cuarón. Correct?
That is correct. Okay. Yes, I was there.
Yeah. And you handed him the award, Solo. Whoa, what was that noise? Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, it was a little weird noise. I don't know. I heard like a brr. It was like a beeping noise.
Maybe Alfonso Cuarón's court jester.
It was Sandra Bullock sending the signal from outer space from his other movie.
Yes.
So we had that right. 60.9% went for Alfonso, and second was Spike Lee, who was my pick actually. Let's talk about Spike.
Right before Spike, I want to real quick before I forget this. So. Up until, I'm going to say, remember when Shakespeare in Love won Best Picture? We thought it was going to be Save It, Private Ryan. Spielberg won the Oscar. Before that, in the mid-80s, was it Oliver Stone? I forget what happened. There was meaning usually Best Picture and Director are the same winner. But in the last, 18 years, it's happened the most in Oscar history. It happens a lot now where people are voting opposite, or the winners are opposite.
Yes.
It's not necessarily director and best picture. It's happened more often than I can remember, because I think it happened once or twice before this big boom. And I'm wondering, why do you think that, Axel?
I don't like the trend. I think it's kind of silly, because the job of the director is to make the best picture. Excuse me. So if you're the best director and you directed the best, then you made the best movie. You can't.
And how can some directors not be nominated but the picture?
Yeah,
I don't get that.
I mean, that's why these awards are fun. And, you know, we, excuse me. I enjoy watching it. We enjoy talking about it. But that's why even when I said Green Book, I was like, well, I could enter into a whole discussion why this was kind of maybe not the right choice. But I just went on to the next thing because it's like in the end, it's art, right? And it's more fun to kind of talk about the artifice of this night than it is the art. Because you can't really judge the art. And I think the reason why that's happening solo is because I think it behooves them to spread out the awards. That's probably it. You know, like people just say to themselves, well, if we give Alfonso Cuarón Best Director, because that's such a personal film, then we can give Best Picture to Green Book. You know what I mean? Like it allows you to kind of like almost one is like a consolation for the other. And unfortunately, I think it ends up making it feel like director is a consolation prize and Best Picture is the big one, you know? But
yeah,
it's weird, dude. They would have to really, and you remember the way they vote, right? That you vote, you don't just vote for Best Picture. You vote, in all the categories, you vote all of them in your order.
Yep.
So if like enough people pick Green Book second, but dispersed amongst in first is all the other ones, then Green Book will win.
Yeah.
So it's the way that they actually do the judging is very different. And supposedly there's things called like, I can't remember. It was on a podcast. I think it was the Dan Feinberg, the Five podcast where they kind of explained this, or maybe it was the Watch or something where like the Academy has something called, you might know about this. They're like delegates and they headed the category and then they decide how many people who gets the screeners or the, I don't know. It's just basically, I think in general, we're going to see it more and more like this year where it's kind of spread out where no one movie wins everything.
Yeah.
Because it behooves the industry too. You want
to
see.
Yeah. Because it used to be people. Too. Yeah. Like who won, was it sound editing or there was a one editing that usually foreshadowed who was going to win Best Picture. Do you remember what award that there was a years and years. It was like, oh, if they win, you know, best sound editing or something. Or,
I think it was sound design. I think they used that.
It was something like that. It was like almost the precursor to, it's just interesting how.
Yes. And I think the thought used to be solo that if you noticed something like that, then this picture has elevated itself.
Right.
But nowadays, I don't think things work like that. You know, right. I think it's a different. It's a different situation, but I will say, because we were talking about Spike Lee, I was hoping Spike Lee would win Best Director or Black Klansman would win Best Picture so Spike Lee could get up there and say something. It was cool that they won Best Screenplay, but Spike Lee is just so funny. He gets up and reads that paper. He's so nervous, and it's just so silly in a sense because you'd think that a guy like Spike Lee would be like, yeah, whatever. Thanks, everybody. This is just some stupid awards. But he's such a film nerd. Cares. He loves it. You know what I mean? Like he wants to be there. He wants to be a part of it. And he wants to have fun with it. And he wants to say something when he gets up. And I got to tell you, man, my wife doesn't even know this because I was sitting on the other side of the couch. But I was crying my eyes out the whole time Spike Lee was talking. I just had tears running down my face. And it was just because he means so much to me as a director and as a filmmaker. And his films taught me so much about filmmaking and just about how to tell a visual story with a unique eye and just with your voice that it just meant so much to see him. And even though his speech was kind of meandering and, you know, it was, some points it made sense. At other points, it was like a tone poem. You know, like it was just beautiful to see. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Spike.
All right.
Shout out to
Spike. You did the right thing.
See, yeah, I was setting you up, man. All right.
You did the right thing, bud.
Best Actress. Okay. The eventual winner of Best Actress was Olivia Colman, but we all thought it was going to be Glenn Close. 52% of our respondents thought it was going to be Glenn Close. Olivia Colman was second with 26%. Best Actor. The winner was Rami Malek, and we had it. 52% thought Rami Malek would win. And then coming in second place, all with 13%, was Viggo, Bradley Cooper, and Christian Bale. So it's interesting.
Was Christian Bale at the Oscars?
Yeah, he was sitting there. Yeah.
Okay.
I was hoping he would. I was very happy Rami Malek won because I thought he was extraordinary in that movie.
Yeah, he was fantastic. That I mean, we talked about this before, but I really liked Bohemian Rhapsody a lot. I know a lot of people had problems with it. I mean, his performance just took away from everything else, and I just loved hearing the music. I would like to see the David Fincher, Freddie Mercury story, maybe 5 years from now, but yeah. Rami Malek was fantastic.
Yeah, dude. We've talked about it too. And after seeing it, I thought that Bohemian Rhapsody was a lot of fun. It was not a great movie because it had a lot of problems. And that's why that won Best Editing, because that's the guy who put the movie together. They came to him and they said, we need to turn this last segment into like a half hour long piece here. And he was like, huh? And they were like, yep. And he was like, okay. And he did it. You know, it was a lot of fun. And he was great. And his speech was great, too. And what eyes on him, man. Wow.
I know.
What He's eyes awesome. On him. Best Supporting Actress. We thought Regina King was going to win, and she did. Our two backups were, I should say, second and third, were Amy Adams and Marina de Tavaria from Roma. But it was Regina King, another TV person.
So happy for her.
Yeah, love
her. She's awesome. Watch Southland, baby. Yeah. Axel bought me the first two seasons of Southland and got me hooked.
I am a believer. She was my reason for why I love her. She is absolutely amazing.
She's amazing.
Anything she does, man. Sometimes they had her on like the red carpet and just her face, the way she just was born to act. You know, she just gives so much.
She's remarkable.
And as Madonna said, she gives good face.
We have
to bring Madonna in there for you, Solo. Best Supporting Actor. Like Mahershala Ali was the winner, and we did say Mahershala Ali would win. But Sam Elliott and Richard E. Grant were our two runners up. So 56%.
Wasn't Richard E. Grant, wasn't he in the Civil War? I think he was a general in the Civil War. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. I don't know why that would be so funny. I can't stop. Hold on, Solo.
Dude, you know what it is,
me.
Too?
You broke me.
I finally broke you. After doing an hour and a half of True Detective or whatever, we were real serious. I like having this fun. I'm going to Google right now. Civil War.
Oh, man.
Richard Gere. No, he wasn't.
Oh, man. You're going to crack me up, dude.
Isn't there an Ulysses Grant or something?
Yes. It's Ulysses.
Is that who
Grant.
I'm thinking of? Yep.
All right.
After all that, I didn't have to Google it. You knew.
Let me keep on moving before I get stopped laughing. Oh, God. All right. Best original
Ulysses,
screenplay.
Yes.
Okay. Roma won.
Most acclaimed Union general. And our president, 18th president. Okay, sorry.
Roma won.
Oh, he died?
wait, who won best original screenplay? Green Book won.
Okay, adapted was – the Green Book won because adapted was Spike. Black.
Okay, Clinton. We had Roma as best original screenplay with almost 40% of our respondents picked Roma. And it, in fact, was not Roma. It was Green Book, and only 17% had a Green Book. Actually, this tied with Vice. Best adapted screenplay, the winner was BlacKkKlansman. And only 18% of us thought BlacKkKlansman was when we thought A Star Is Born would win. And that's
I thought they would give that. I kind of was like, sometimes, like, you know, you look at, okay, we're going to give this Oscar because it's not going to win this and that. I probably should have changed that because, you know, the song won, and that makes more sense. But that's just my hunch.
Yeah. Well, I think
that was wrong.
In the end, the only thing that A Star Is Born won was the song.
Yeah, that was it.
Right? Nobody won.
Yeah.
Best cinematography, Alfonso Cuarón. I didn't know he shot the movie. That's amazing. This is like another, like last year when Paul Thomas Anderson shot Phantom Thread. That's amazing to do that and direct and write the thing and produce the thing. And it was just what a job. And we had that. That was actually the most right 80%. Oh, no, 60.1% out of all the categories. That's the most that we got, that everybody got right, was Roma cinematography. That's amazing. Though I'm surprised. I thought The Favorite might take that. And so did 17% of our other respondents. Best original score, the winner was Black Panther, and we did think Black Panther was going to win. I think that was.
I did. I picked that.
I don't know what you picked. I didn't. I can't go through everybody's. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going through mine too. Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't have Black Panther. I know I got that wrong.
Yeah, but we did have 30%. Thought that was right. Documentary.
Oh, when you say we, everyone.
Yes, everyone. Is that what you're talking? Everyone.
Oh, I thought you meant like me and you.
Wait, this whole time you thought I was talking about me and you?
Yes. Because, yes.
This is the best podcast ever.
Dude, Ulysses Grant, I thought was nominated, but yeah, I thought you were talking about we. Because when you say we, I just assumed, but I didn't realize the whole DVR. Universe. So,
I'm telling you the percentages because there's too many people responded, man. It breaks it down for you. All right. Best documentary feature. The winner was Free Solo, baby.
I picked it just because of the name. Yeah. I had no idea what it was about.
And so did everybody else. 34%. And, that was the highest, and coming in second was RBG. And Free Solo, I really want to see, and I do want to shout out right now, if anyone was inspired by looking at some of the shots, because this is absolutely amazing, these free climbers, there's a movie called Meru, M-E-R-U, that's on...
The Island of Dr. Meru?
No, this is the mountain Meru, that I think it's on Amazon. And one of the guys in Meru is the star, is kind of the main subject of Free Solo. And it's absolutely amazing. These are dudes that like, and women, mostly dudes though, that climb up a mountain with just their bare hands. And then they stick a freaking thing, pontoon or whatever it's called. And then they put it like a blanket, and then they sleep on the blanket hanging from the side of the cliff, and then they climb the rest of it. It's like insanity, man.
Oh, well, Richard E. Grant used to do that back in the Civil War.
They named some streets after him. Best animated feature, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I'm so glad that won. That was a great. They did a great speech, acceptance speech, and I've heard that that was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think I picked that. I think I picked something else.
I don't even remember. I picked that, though. I did pick that, because I'm going to tell you at the end who the big winners are. We only got two more categories. Editing
that's it.
Went to Bohemian Rhapsody, and we all picked that 47%. I think that was...
Well, we don't know if we all picked that, but...
Well, okay, right, the majority.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's why I get confused.
That's true. You're right, Solo.
Majority.
Not all of us. Majority.
Yeah.
Best production design, the winner was Black Panther, and that is not who we thought was going to win. Most of us, 30% of us, thought it was going to be either The Favorite or Black Panther. So it was tied.
Yeah, I think I picked The Favorite.
Yeah, I think I did too. So that was kind of fun to see what the respondents picked. And now I'm going to tell you who won the contest. And I'm going to start at coming in at kind of third place. Okay? So in third place, and we had 14 categories to choose from, coming in third place, getting 7 out of 14, which is half right, is a gentleman by the name of Heath Solo.
Oh, third place. I'm so happy. I'd like to thank all the DVR universe.
Yes.
Richard S. Grant, Ulysses the Third, and thank you. Wait, I didn't win. Why am I giving an expected? Okay, I got third place.
You got third place. And not bad. I would like to tell you now who got second place. Second place is a tie with 8 out of 10 correct. We have Mr. Andy himself, Ando Calrissian, with 8. Also, Joe Bear.
Hey, Joe Bear. Why'd you tell me there were 14? There's only 10.
No, there's 14 categories.
Oh, there is 14.
Yeah, there's 14. Joe Bear got 8. And also, W. Axel Foley got 8.
Oh, so really I didn't come in third.
Well, you did kind of. This was a tie.
By the number.
Yes.
But technically, if you count it up, I really came in like 6th or 7th. But anyway, thanks for making me feel better.
Well, I wanted to include you. And also, another person who's just, I have their email. I'm not sure who it is, but I will shout them out that they did get 8 too, because everyone got their results sent back to them. Now, the winner. A resounding winner with 2 more than the second place with 10 correct.
Oof.
Is... And I'll just give a first name here because I don't know if they want me to give their whole name, is Carol. Carol is the winner.
Okay. From The Walking Dead? Carol from The Walking Dead?
It might be.
Time to fill out a ballot?
It might be. She's tough. I'm telling you. She's tough and intelligent. So Carol saw the post nice on job. Twitter, and she entered the contest, and Carol has won not only the Black Panther tie, but the Hand of the Queen pin, and I'm going to mail that out. Hopefully this week, if I can brave the post office and Newman doesn't tackle me or give me dirty looks, I will go to the post office. And Carol, you will get your winning prizes. So when you do, why don't you tweet it and show everybody what you won? And thanks, everyone, for participating. We had a lot of respondents, a lot of great answers here, a lot of people sharing the contest. I, of course, want to thank Cufflinks.com. for giving us these fantastic prizes as well. Go to cufflinks.com, baby.
Yeah, and I want to say, I was on cufflinks.com the other day because I'm looking at ordering that Dallas Cowboy money clip. I really like it.
Mm.
So I'll use the DVR 20% off. But you know what? These prizes are pretty... Cufflinks rocks because these prizes aren't... They're no joke. There's some... That's good stuff. It's not like a $2 or a little tie. Yeah. This stuff is no joke. And I was looking at their inventory and I was getting excited, but I'm like, oh man, I don't want to spend too much, but I want to order like 20 things. But anyway, I wanted that Black Panther tie. I may buy one for myself. I like that one.
Well, we'll see what we can do, Solo. We're going to have other contests and who knows, you are a employee of the DVR podcast network.
See, I'm both. I'm an employee and I'm a patron.
You're a patron and you're an owner.
No, if I were to, yeah. Well, if I ever won, I would give it to a random. I wouldn't take.
We're all employees.
I couldn't take the prize. I just like to compete with everyone. But if I would have won, but I was no way I was beating Carol, I would have donated it probably to Andy. Would have been my first choice.
Oh,
I don't know
that's
why.
Sweet,
because he saved our podcast. Maybe.
Yes.
From the, yeah.
Andy wins best.
But sorry, Andy. I stunk.
Archivist.
Yes. The salvage.
That was fun, man. This was a lot of fun to do this, and it was cool to do the Google thing, and I hope it worked out for everybody. I mean, I know you have to log into Google, but I think it's okay. Like, you have to log into Twitter. Yeah. You have to log into Facebook to see it. So, you know,
we're login culture.
Everybody logs in these days. You log into this, you log into that.
I just logged in just now. I don't know what I logged into. I might get arrested.
We're losing it here, man.
But no, remember the 1 year, Axel, real quick, me, you, and our friend Donald, we did that on the foot where we guessed every category, and we didn't see – we saw like 2 movies that year. It was like 5 years ago. But that was so much fun. It was so much fun because we're like, we're going to pick – but it was just so much fun. I love doing these contests with everyone because, you know, award shows are award shows. Sometimes they're fun, sometimes not. But when you have a stake in and like trying to predict – I'll tell a quick little story. I used to run an Oscar pool in college, and so – We did it. It was the year Braveheart won, I believe, or The English Patient. It was both those years. But so I'm scoring them, and my friend Larry, I'm like, Lawrence, why do I call him Larry? I was scoring him. I'm like, oh my God, he's getting everyone right, and I'm doing it in front of everyone. We're going crazy, and I go, oh, wait a minute, that's the key. It's not that trick. I was grading his key, and he's even looking like, I didn't pick Juliette Binoche. And I'm like, so I was like, he even picked Juliette Binoche. Oh, my God. And he's like looking like, this isn't mine. But he wasn't saying nothing. And then I realized it was the key. Anyway, a little fun story.
Dude,
there.
That is – I really like it, too. I've made mistakes like that, too. I don't remember. I think it was like a fantasy football or something. And one time someone had like 1,000 points. They're like, what are you doing? And I just kept on giving them like the highest. I don't know why. I was like adding up the highest, and I moved it over a little bit. That was back when you had to use the newspaper to do it, you know?
Oh, yeah. I remember those days.
But I'm definitely going to do this now. So all you listeners out there, I'm going to do the Emmys. I'm going to do the Golden Globes. We're going to do the Oscars again. You know, nice. This may be how we do the Deadpool for Game of Thrones, because we're doing that for Game of Thrones on podcast Winterfell. We're going to have a big contest, who lives, who dies, who sits on the Iron Throne. I'm going to do that as well. So it's fun. And the best part about it is, of course, cufflinks. You know, they're so awesome. They're always asking me, what should we send you? You know, so we got a lot of great stuff. Amazing. And this was able to do too. Like, they specifically sent me out this Black Panther. It was DJ Tim Hines' idea. He said, hey, we should give out a Black Panther tie and do an Oscar thing. And that's what we did.
Was it DJ's?
Yeah.
Look at that. DJ putting his, you know what? Good on you, DJ. That was a great idea.
You know what? One day I might actually read his True Detective email. Not today,
you just,
though.
You know what you should do? Just do it. Not today. You should just do a pod. And just read his email. Don't even say nothing. God. Just like, welcome to Daily DVR. This is, you know, April 19th, 2019. Here's DJ's email. And then that's it. It just ends.
Oh, dude. How about this, Solo? I'm going to end every podcast for the next 3 months with one word from his email. So if you edit together on the last word,
I love it.
You'll get his email.
Today's DJ word is the.
Yes, exactly.
That'd be awesome. It's kind of like Jimmy Kimmel's ongoing joke with Matt Damon. Sorry, Matt Damon, we didn't have time for you tonight. That's going to be DJ. Just, we didn't have time to read DJ's email, but
yeah.
I love it.
All right, baby.
All right.
I think that's all we got for the Oscars. I mean, in general, I would say this. Not a great year for the movies that were nominated for me. I will say I didn't see a lot of them, but that may also have been it could be the vibe I got. It could be the vibe I got from other people. But I think generally that's how people feel. But the show itself, I thought they did a really good job, and I thought it moved along well. I thought the people were funny. There were some awkward moments, but there were some good acceptance speeches. And overall, you know, you and I, Solo, we love the movies. We love TV. So any chance you get to talk about it and see people talk about it and see people be happy that they're doing it and making stuff is a fun 3 hours for me.
Exactly. I'm with you, brother.
Yeah. All right. So you got any final words? You got a quote from the Oscars to take us out?
Welcome to the 94th Oscars. I don't know what number it was.
Richard E. Grant.
No quotes today.
No quotes.
Oh, I got one. And the winner is...
All right. The winner is you all for listening to this
all,
podcast.
You all, Carol.
Carol, yes.
Carol's Thank the winner.
You. Thank you. So
she's got her first Oscar.
That's right. She does.
A DVR Oscar.
Yeah,
first
maybe.
DVR Oscar.
So thank you, everyone who participated. We really do appreciate it. Makes it a lot more fun. And we're going to do it again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This was a great podcast. Check us out, dvrpodcast.com, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Monday. And let me tell you, everybody, just got reminded by Brett that there are 7 weeks until the premiere of Game of Thrones, and there are 7 seasons. So every week you do 1 season, and I don't know, I might have to jump into that next week. I'm not sure, but I am going to be getting to a rewatch pretty soon, and I'll probably chunk them. So I might do like half a season and talk about it on an episode, or maybe we'll just do nice. Like 1 episode a week. And Solo, if you're feeling it and you get into rewatching, holler at me, baby.
All right. I mean, I was just happy to be nominated.
I know. It's just wonderful to be here.
It's just wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, we're out, though. Peace.
Peace.